Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host Gwen Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Don Mackay, the author of the science fiction trilogy, The Lanark Chronicles. Tell us about your editing process, Don. Do you edit as you write, or wait till the end? How do you feel about self-editing? Did you hire a professional?
I never edit as I write. I find it just blocks the flow. And with computers these days, there's no need to do the editing as you go, since the edits can be easily done later. Sometimes while writing, I'll think of something that's unrelated to where I am in the story. So I'll stop, get that idea down before it's gone. I don't know where I'll use it, but I know I will. I like to give self-editing a shot, but I really think you're doing yourself a disservice if you try to do that. I hired a professional editor, and in my case, I'm fortunate because my daughter lives in Ottawa, is a professional editor, and she went through it for me and did a really excellent job on it. The thing I find with, I've had other professional editors, and they point out things that you would have missed. For example, you know, in chapter 2, the door opened this way. In chapter 6, you've got it opening the other way. You probably wouldn't realize that. I think self-editing, you're looking at grammar and sentence structure and maybe not the big picture. Another example is, in one case I was being told, you know, the moon's been full for 2 weeks. So, you know, that kind of thing that, you know, your readers may catch up on, but, you know, as a writer, it could completely go past you.
Indeed, I think a professional editor is a real bonus.
Oh, I agree.
And you can't really manage to self-edit your own work.
Yeah, they point out the gaping holes in your script. And
right. So you self-published your trilogy. Was that a positive experience?
Ended up being very positive, but it was in the beginning it was very difficult because I was just looking for a printer, and all I could find was large corporations who wanted to charge me thousands of dollars to do the work and then sell my books back to me at 40% off retail. Which is not a good way to go, because when you go into a bookstore, the bookstore is going to want 40% off retail, so you're really making nothing on the sale. A writer, you can get your own ISBN, the copyright, the disclaimers, you can get the layout. My people, I told them I wanted a typical novel size, 5x7. They recommended the font, the layout for me, and absolutely everything. So all they did for me was just print the book at a very, very reasonable cost. I looked locally. They wanted $18 a copy. And I thought, what am I going to do? Sell it for $30? Nobody's going to buy the book. So it took me a year to find these publishers. They're out in Winnipeg.
Oh, yes. Yep. But you found a printer out there.
A printer out there. And after all the edits are done, they send you an unbound proof, which is fabulous. And you can go through it one last time, make any corrections or small adjustments over the phone, and then they print it, they laminate the covers, bind it with perfect binding and send it to him.
So you were pleased with them?
Thrilled. Absolutely thrilled.
And how did you find this company then? Just by being persistent
just
or what?
Just persistent. Yeah, I searched everywhere on the internet. They've been there 60 years. Their work's top quality. They've got state-of-the-art equipment, so.
Good. So what do you find is the most effective way to market your work?
I think go to where the people are. Try to get into as many local bookstores as you possibly can. Set up book signings. Talk to the owners. They'd be thrilled to have you because it generates interest in their store. Brings more business to them. In my case, I also found there's a Canadian book distributor in BC called Red Took Books. He's geared towards small presses. And he distributes hundreds of catalogs every year across Canada, every library in the country, and to many of the larger schools. And that's been just fabulous for me.
Mm-hmm.
Also, put it on a website. Create your own website. It's not difficult these days. There's lots of stuff out there that you can do it yourself.
Right. So tell us about your new book. It doesn't sound like science fiction.
Okay, I'm busted. This was one I wrote 20 years ago.
Oh.
I like to think of it as a murder mystery. It's seasoned with the supernatural. But just a little. It has, I mean, it's not, I hate zombies, I hate vampires. I mean, there's nothing that's been more overdone than that these days. So, again, it's a very human story. It's about a couple who are involved in an incredible situation that was totally not their doing, but they get dragged into it. and they're fighting to survive.
Uh-huh. But there's a murder at the center of it, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Or a planned murder.
A what?
Perhaps just a planned murder.
Oh, I see. Another mystery. Okay, well, would you like to read from that book, or?
No, I've got a little further along in the first book.
Yes, okay.
Of the Lanark Chronicles.
All right, well, introduce it so that we know what's going on.
Okay, this is chapter 5. One of the main characters, Angelina, which is Bobby's aunt, she's just been through a devastating experience, and she's just coming out of that right now. Chapter 5. Angelina Carlotta slowly opened her eyes as morning sunlight crept toward her. She was lying on her back, surrounded by tall grass. A bone-chilling cold numbed her body, and she felt nauseous. Her nerve endings continued to signal relentless, fiery pain in her still oozing throat. She lifted her hand toward it and let the arm drop. It flopped into some very cold water. Startled, she sat up and quickly looked around. She was in a ditch, the ditch running along the main road into town, she remembered. She'd stumbled into it in the dark and blacked out, too exhausted to climb the 3 or 4 feet back up to the road. The grass whispered and swayed slightly as a faint breeze entered the ditch with the morning sunlight. There was no other sound. Nothing makes sense, she thought. She remembered the agony of the knife slashing her neck open and the panic that tore through her mind as she watched the bubbles of her last breath rippling upward while she sank to the bottom. The mere thought of drowning had always terrified her. It was the worst way to die. You knew it was happening and couldn't stop it. She tried to concentrate on the events of the night before, but it was like a floating dream. And in her watery dream, there had been something stuck in the sand. Something beautiful, shiny, a gift, perhaps from a handsome suitor. Then she remembered her head breaking the surface of the rolling surf and crawling onto the beach, shredding her hands and knees on the rocks. Choking and gagging, she mustered all her strength, pulling the cord until she finally lifted the brick out of the water. At that moment, all she could see was the face of Carlos Gavinovi in her mind. And now, fully awake, sitting in the ditch, she knew he was dead, though she couldn't recall the details of how he'd died. Her hand moved gently to her throat. I should be dead. Then she realized with a sudden shock, I was dead. Fear and panic washed over her, the bile rising in her throat as she looked at her left hand, still holding the tube. Why can't I let go of you? Her fingers refused to straighten. She leaned over and peered at her reflection in the still water of the ditch and gasped, Christ, I need a hospital, she said to the bloodied and bruised face that stared back at her with sunken eyes. Her gaze touched on the straggly hair, the gashed neck, then she shivered and straightened as cold water trickled down her back. Moving her head a little from side to side seemed to ease the monster pounding in her temples. I have to get out of here, or I will die again. Summoning her strength, she pulled her feet from the black watery muck of the ditch and paused as a distant rush of wind broke the silence, steady and continuous and slowly getting louder. She gasped, suddenly recognizing the sound. A car! An escape! Help! She twisted over onto all fours, her raw and bloody knees filling her brain with blasts of pain. Clutching at handfuls of wet grass, Angelina pulled herself up the incline, inch by agonizing inch. Her breath came in short gasps. The noise of the approaching vehicle grew louder and louder. Crying out in rage as the pain pierced every inch of her body, Angelina clawed her way up the embankment until, with a last desperate heave, she pushed herself onto the unforgiving gravel shoulder. She lay there on her back, gulping the cool morning air, every breath searing her throat. The roar of the approaching vehicle was almost unbearable. She feared it would kill her. Then suddenly it stopped. And for Angelina, the silence coincided with blackness, as any reason to think about anything left her.
Wow.
That's all I got.
Thanks, Don. We enjoyed that. So, how do you organize your writing, Don? Do you write in the morning, in the middle of the night, or are you very organized, I'm asking, really?
Fairly disorganized. I don't write every day. I go on fits and starts. I will write, I'll sit down and go 5,000 words at a time, in huge chunks like that. I like writing in the afternoons. I sit out in my porch with my laptop.
So how long does it take you to write 5,000 words?
Not long. If you're in the groove and everything's flowing, you'd be amazed. You know, you finally look up and it's dark outside. That's
I see. So you do give it a couple of hours at least.
Oh, absolutely.
Many thanks to Don MacKay, author of a science fiction trilogy called The Lanark Chronicles. So where can listeners buy your books, Don?
They're available at Chapters, Books and Company in Picton, Red Tooth Books in BC, Amazon.ca, and of course my website, lanarkchronicles.ca.
Okay, can you say that? This is your distributor, is it, out in BC?
Yes, yes.
What's the name again?
Red Tooth.
Red Tooth. Okay. Yeah. To connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to our website, www.wordonthehills.com. All these programs are archived there and available to listeners at any time. You can make a comment or ask a question, and we would love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another episode next week.